Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's driving the conversation in California today? Every weekday at this time, we explore a topic that's making news in our state. This is the State of California.
Good afternoon. This is the State of California.
We are fewer than 2 weeks until Election Day. Hard to believe. And today we continue our special edition of the State of California, taking a closer look at the issues at hand for the midterms. KCBS political reporter Doug Sovereign assembled a special roundtable of guests at the top of the mark, the historic bar high atop Knob Hill at the Mark Hopkins Hotel, for an extended conversation to break down the key issues.
Doug's guests are political sociologist Mindy Romero, director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy at the USC Price School of Public Policy, veteran California Republican campaign consultant Mike Madrid, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project, and Carla Marinucci, longtime political writer, formerly with Politico and the San Francisco Chronicle.
Today's segment will focus on the role of the Latino population in California for the midterms.
This has been much discussed and debated on this show and elsewhere, what's happened with the Latino vote and how Republicans have made inroads in California, certainly in South Texas, in different places around the country. What do we think is happening in California, where obviously the Latino vote is substantial? Turnout has historically been lower among that segment of the electorate, but either Mindy or Mike, whichever of you wants to jump in here, what do you think we're seeing here in California over the next couple of weeks with the Latino vote?
Yeah, I think Mike and I are pretty much on the same page on this one. So there have been shifts nationally. We've had a number of polls that have shown us this. How big of a shift varies. Still, it's important to note that Latinos are more likely going to vote Democrat. There still is a margin between their support and that's still significant.
A big one. Yeah, a big one. 55 to 60% or more.
Yeah, pretty significant. Yeah. So as always with politics, we take one thing, we run with it, and the story becomes Latinos are shifting. They're Republican now, right? That's not the case. But the difference for California is that shift, we're not really seeing it. Maybe in some small places, but overall, there's just a different history here, a different set of trigger factors, if you will, that have led California Latinos to still be solidly Democrat, or at least also independent.
You can go back to Prop 187, which was, a watershed moment.
187, and I don't know how much time you want to spend on it, but essentially 187 was really the marker that shifted. Prior to that, the Latino vote was a little bit more Democrat than Republican. With 187 and a series of other things that happened, other propositions that happened, it really set a narrative for many Latinos and for Latino leadership that Republicans were not in the best interest, to say the least, right, of the Latino community.
And now I'm wondering, with some of these national figures, has the 187 Pete Wilson factor kind of worn off, maybe? I mean, you are seeing gains.
It's a generation ago.
Yeah, it was a generation ago. I mean, Republicans are making gains.
Go for it.
I'll say this. There are a third of the Latino electorate in California was born after Prop 187, to date all of us here at the table.
Yeah.
So there's no recollection of this as a politicized moment. So we do, I think, retrench a little bit too much to 187 and Pete Wilson.
Right.
There are a lot of economic factors. There's a lot of social factors as to why Latinos in California have been voting differently. But then you also have to ask yourself, like, how was Donald Trump, of all people, what was the appeal that he had? And I just keep going back to the fact that if there are two politicians in the modern era that have dramatically overperformed expectations amongst Latinos, it's Bernie Sanders, who also won those same Rio Grande Valley seats, by the way, in the primary, and Donald Trump. And when you look at it that way, you start to understand that there's this insurgent economic populism that is it's endemic in Hispanics everywhere outside of California. But look, just yesterday there was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle showing that the most Hispanic dense precincts were showing a disaffiliation with the Democratic Party with Hispanics, and a slight, I don't think it's really that measurable towards the Republican Party, But when you understand that it's really, I think, a rejection of both parties, it's just one has been far worse for 30 years for Hispanics, you start to understand why you've had this low turnout for decades, why you have not had much of an aspirational agenda put forth by either party, and why these stereotypes about Democrats just being knee-jerk Democrats or not voting have really set in. And outside of California, it's proving remarkably inaccurate.
And let me add something to that, too. So it's the issues, but it's also the outreach, stupid, kind of, you know. So especially in California, it's really easy to see. So over the last few decades, and certainly before that as well, but neither party, Democrats, Republicans, did a good job at all outreaching to Latinos, period. But the Democratic Party did some of that. It's mind-blowing still to this day how how ineffective it was and how, you know, the quality of it and so forth. But they did some of that using Prop 187 and subsequent things, right, as kind of part of that narrative. And Republicans didn't do a lot of outreach. And of course, the rhetoric that was freewheeling that, you know, came off certainly as anti-Latino, all that did was just kind of solidify, right, a narrative that did continue through, you know, later generations, and then Donald Trump kind of came along and helped solidify that further. But a lot of what's happened in California has also been a generation of Latino leadership that is out there doing the mobilization, doing the outreach, setting the narrative, right? That as they engage with younger Latinos, just the Latino community, period, they're not engaging really about Democrats and Republicans. They've been largely engaging, right, and asking for the vote when they ask for the vote of Latinos for Democrats, right, or Democratic issues. So I just want to emphasize that outreach itself is a factor in all of this, and the horrible job that we've seen around the country that both Democrats and Republicans, even in swing states. But maybe what happened last time around in the last presidential race is that we saw some really strategic, targeted outreach by Republicans that did, you know, that actually asked Latinos to vote, along with issues that created an opportunity, right, for the Republican Party in some places.
And I think it's true that I think for a long time, Democrats have taken the Latino vote for granted, and at least in California, and Republicans have thought it's not worth their effort because they can't win it. And there's this dawning awareness on the Republican side that there was this opportunity for them there, and they took advantage of it. I just got a poll, a new one, that talked about in California how few Latinos have been contacted in this cycle about the outreach. It's something like 20% have heard from anyone.
And election after election.
And there's 2 weeks to go, and they know there's an election, but no one has sent them anything, knocked on their door when there's this supposed mobilization to get more Latinos to vote in California, and they're still not being
registered. And a couple of these toss-up districts, by the way, you have 50% Latino votes at stake here. So, yeah, it's more important than ever that both parties engage here.
If you look at, to Carla's point, you can't look at that Duarte-Adam Gray race without the Republican. You know, it's a toss-up. That means the Republican is making significant inroads into the Hispanic vote.
And this is like the Central Valley with a large Latino population.
Valadao can't be posting those numbers. Yeah. He can't be competitive unless he's making significant inroads into the Hispanic electorate. Like, it is happening in California, too. It's not as measurable because of the history and because of the other dynamics of the state. It's certainly not happening the same way it is in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, for example. But if you look at the Rio Grande Valley demographically, it's not that unlike what you're seeing in Valadao's district in the Central Valley or in the Adam Gray seat in the north part of the Central Valley. These are rural agricultural communities where there is clearly a different partisan split with the Hispanic voter there.
Thank you all so much for being with us on this special edition of the State of California. From the top of the mark at the Mark Hopkins Hotel in San Francisco, Mindy Romero from the USC Price School Center for Inclusive Democracy. Thank you. Mike Madrid, longtime Republican political strategist, and Carla Marinucci of Politico and The Chronicle. Thank you all for being here. It was terrific.
Thank you.
And I'm Doug Sovereign. And of course, the State of California airs every weekday at 3:30 in the afternoon. You can find it on our Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts, as is our new national politics podcast, The Homestretch. You'll find me on Twitter at Sovereign Nation. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.